Today is the Feast of the Purification of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and these are the announcements. So immediately after this word, the words we're going to speak to you today, we'll do the asparagus and then the blessing of the candles and distribute them to all of you. And then we'll have the procession with the candle, and we'll speak about that more in a moment, and then that will conclude with the Mass. And then if you want extra candles or want to retrieve the candles that you brought to the table there, you can do that'll be right after Mass. And then as it was announced last Sunday, the 100% beeswax candles will be available for those who wish to have them, and those are, they burn for about 100 hours, and we obtain them from a company that specializes in natural types of candles. But we're making them available to you for a $30 donation, and that you can put your donation in the box in front of the candles in front of St. Joseph. There will not be blessing of articles after Mass today. We will have benediction of the Blessed Sacrament at 6 p.m. Tomorrow is the commemoration of St. Blaise, so we will offer the votive Mass of St. Blaise, followed by the blessing of candles in honor of St. Blaise, and then the blessing of throats. So whoever comes to Mass tomorrow, you can have your throat blessed on the Feast of St. Blaise. And then if you are unable to come to Mass tomorrow, next Sunday, you can have your throat blessed after Mass. There will not be adult catechism class after Mass today. And then this Thursday is a Thursday before the first Friday of the month, so we will have our holy hour at 7 p.m., from 7 to 8 p.m. And then the first Friday, Mass will be at 8:30, followed by the Rosary. There are many saints this week, but we'll just mention on Wednesday, February 5th, is the Feast of St. Agatha, one of the great virgin martyrs of the early church, endured terrible tortures and persecution for what she believed, which is exactly what we believe today. We say that because maybe occasionally you are criticized or discriminated against for what you believe. I think one of the priests mentioned recently, Lent came early this year for our community. Do you know why we say that? Because it seems God, in his infinite wisdom and love, sends crosses to all of us, but to our community during Lent. Well, we've been the last few weeks especially under attack and criticized for what we believe and what, same thing as I said, St. Agatha believed. But it is a privilege, an honor, we say that with all, God willing, humility and love, to be a part of a community that in these days stands up for the truth, the true faith, just like St. Agatha. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Now, because we preach at the beginning of this Mass, we will not read the Epistle and Gospel. But as you know, we do that for a few of the feast days of the year because of the special ceremony before the Mass, the blessing of candles. And so we want to explain some of the history of this faith, of this feast, rather, and why it is so important for us today. One remark is, I think in the last 20 years, this feast has fallen on Sunday only twice. So that means many of you have never heard a sermon about this beautiful feast, which incidentally, even though it's called the Purification of the Blessed Virgin Mary, in more ancient times, it was called the Presentation of Our Lord in the Temple. So this feast, this celebration, in terms of the Holy Family going to the temple, goes all the way back to Jerusalem, maybe shortly after the apostles, but surely in the very earliest centuries. Because our Lord, being the Son of God, was not subject to the law, his own law. That law was for the Hebrews, the chosen people, and it had many regulations to keep them separate from the Gentiles and the non-believers. But also, as St. Paul says, it was to remind them of the state of sin of all mankind, but especially the chosen people, to look forward to the Savior who would free them from sin and from all these extra regulations that reminded them of the stain of sin that we all are born into the world with. It's sort of like if someone has the unfortunate circumstance of going to prison, there are a lot of rules you have to follow. But when you're freed, you don't have those rules anymore. Hopefully, the Hebrews, all of us, those who are freed from the prison of sin, now can lead a life of virtue. There was this nun, holy woman. Some say she was a saint, Saint Sylvia of Bordeaux, of Aquitania. And she happened to go to the Holy Land in the 300s, early of the 4th century. So here's what she said. I think we have the actual document. But certainly the Feast of the Purification is celebrated here in Jerusalem with the greatest honor. On this day there is a procession to the Anastasis. All go in procession and all things are done in order with great joy, just as at Easter. All the priests preach, and also the bishop, also treating of that passage of the gospel where on the 40th day Joseph and Mary brought the Lord into the temple, and Simeon and Anna the prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, saw him, and of the words which they said when they saw the Lord, and of the offerings which the parents presented. And when all things have been celebrated in order as is customary, the sacrament is administered, and so the people are all dismissed. She's describing after the blessing and the procession of the candles, people received Holy Communion, and then they were dismissed from the church. And we're doing the same thing 1,700 years later. Well, why is this feast celebrated? Why did the Holy Ghost inspire Holy Mother of the Church to have this feast? Well, first of all, as I said, our Lord was exempt from the law. But also the Blessed Virgin Mary was exempt from the law because she had no sin. She was conceived without sin. So those laws were meant for sinners. And so she was not, and he was not, they were not ritually unclean. Now, obviously, giving birth does not make a woman unclean, but according to the Mosaic law, it was a ritual uncleanness. So in the book of Leviticus, 40 days after a boy was born, his parents had to present him to the temple to be given to God, to offer him to God. Because all children belong to God. And they would pay a ransom, or an offering rather, of turtle doves or pigeons as a symbol. Okay, now that you've presented your child in the temple to God, you give this offering and now you can take your child back to raise him correctly, according to God's law. Not your own law, not evil practices, not to disobey God, but to teach him virtue. Now with girls, according to Moses, who got it directly from God, for infant girls it was 80 days. Now someone may think, see, here's where the Bible is discriminating against women. A very ignorant person. But the reason that was done, it is believed, in ancient times, it was thought that giving birth to a girl was more dangerous for the mother, and that she needed a longer time of convalescence after giving birth to a girl. Some scripture sources say it's because sin came into the world because of a woman, Eve. So all her descendants, all women, have a ritual punishment of double the time of an infant boy. So she was secluded longer. But in any case, that was the custom. And Saint Joseph and the Blessed Virgin Mary, especially Saint Joseph, most just, he followed the law to the letter. He, as you may know, was considered to be born without sin, like Saint John the Baptist, sanctified in the womb. So here you have these perfect, these very holy personages of our Lord, the Blessed Virgin Mary, and Saint Joseph, and they are humble and good enough to go to church. What an example for all of us and for the rest of the world. Giving birth for women is, in the natural order, the greatest work. In fact, it's probably the greatest work of any human being, to bring life into the world, to cooperate with God's plan for procreation. In ancient times, when a woman was going to give birth, and she did give birth, she was treated with the greatest reverence, because it was considered that she had mystical powers to bring life into the world. Because centuries ago, millennia ago, people didn't know all the science and biology of giving birth. How far, how much we have fallen. As you'd think with all the science, it'd make people regard childbirth with greater reverence. And no one, no woman, no parent, no husband, no doctor, caregiver would ever cooperate or have anything to do with a mother murdering her baby for the most trivial or the most evil purposes. So, as we said, the parents would bring this offering to win their child back, to get it back from the priest. And it was an acknowledgement that God is the source of life. Now, how do we go to the next phase or aspect of this feast? It describes the presentation of our Lord in the temple. But here we have also the purification of Blessed Mother, Blessed Virgin Mary, who needed no purifying. But it is considered that at that time, and it's represented beautifully on the back of this cope, that the Blessed Virgin Mary carried a candle. And that custom continues to this day when we have the churching of a woman who has given birth to her child. She comes to the church and she carries the candle from the back of the chapel, just like the Blessed Virgin Mary. So the church wants us to recognize what the value is of the candle. And most of you know, but it is beautiful to read about it and to hear about it again. Our Lord said, "I am the light of the world." He makes many references to that fact, to dispel darkness, the darkness of the night, of the devil, of evil, of sin. So this day, even though it comes a few months before Easter, it flows from Easter because the candle, every candle, all of those candles lit on the altar, all take their value, their symbolism, their blessing from the great Paschal candle. So Saint Anselm described why the candle is a symbol of Christ. He said, "The beeswax, the very structure of the candle, comes from the worker bees. Those are virginal bees. No sexual contact with another bee. And their only purpose is to work to produce the wax." So that wax symbolizes the virginal, pure flesh of the Blessed Virgin Mary, from which our Lord received his human body, his pure virginal flesh. And then inside that candle is a wick, symbolizing the soul of our Lord, hidden by his body. And when the candle is lit, That flame symbolizes the divinity of Jesus Christ, which absorbs and dominates the wick and the wax. Now, why did Saint Anselm explain this to the people centuries ago, to the Christians? Because from the earliest times, when the holy sacrifice of the Mass was offered, they had candles. From apostolic times. Because often Mass was done in a hidden catacomb where there was darkness. So there's the practical side. But the main reason is because the flame, the light, symbolizes the presence of Jesus Christ, especially at the Mass and especially at the consecration. So, as you may know, it is a grave sin, a mortal sin, for a priest to offer Mass without candles lit. Now some say, why all these references to symbolism and the candle and wax? And because God is so above us, so infinite, so perfect, that he wants to teach us with symbols, with things that represent the greater. That's why we have the most sublime first sacrament of baptism administered with water, ordinary water. There's that substance is in more abundance than any other substance. And saints and theologians have said that water was created by God for baptism. Not for us to drink or to wash ourselves, or not for the animals that live in the water, but for baptism as a way of cleansing our souls of original sin. Because that's obvious. What is more important? To wash your body from dirt, or to cleanse your soul of sin so you can get to heaven? So, shortly we're going to bless these candles, and it's a very solemn blessing. There are five prayers that contain these blessings. And the candles are sprinkled with holy water and incensed, just like the Blessed Sacrament and the priest at Mass, which all take their importance, their holiness, from the Holy Eucharist. Now this day also concludes the Christmas season. So there is today the preface of the Nativity. There are some cultures, maybe not so much anymore, that would keep all their Christmas decorations until the Feast of the Purification. That's how great our Lord's birth was in the minds of early Christians to celebrate it for 40 days. So it's sort of like a continuation of the Feast of the Epiphany. I want you to hear a sermon of a great saint, great bishop, great doctor of the church, that is read in matins of today, Sermon of St. Augustine. He says, it was thus prophesied of old. Mother Sion says, and a man was made in her, and the Highest himself hath founded her. O almighty power of a newborn child, O magnificence coming down from heaven to earth. He is still being carried in the womb and is saluted by John the Baptist from the womb of his mother. He is presented in the temple and is recognized by Simeon, an old man, famous and full of years, proved and crowned. First he is recognized, then he is adored. Then Simeon said, now thou dost dismiss thy servant, O Lord, in peace, because my eyes have seen thy salvation, we can say those same words. Because we see, as the priest carries the large candle that he's just blessed, carries it among you, it symbolizes Christ. But it is all flowing from these sacramentals, these ceremonies, all flowing from which, God willing, all of you will receive at Mass the Blessed Sacrament, the Holy Eucharist. You can say those same words that Saint Simeon said, because you've seen your salvation when you look at the Holy Eucharist, especially at the elevation. That's why the priest lifts the Holy Eucharist so that you can adore. And you can say, my Lord and my God. And in a real sense, in effect, what you do in your acts of faith in the Holy Eucharist at this Mass is on the same level, equal to what Saint Simeon did. Because he took the child, the holy infant, Jesus Christ, from the Blessed Mother, and he held our Lord. However, he did not receive him in his body the way all of us do. And he never had the chance to receive the Holy Eucharist. So we should be saints, all things being equal, greater saints than Saint Simeon, because every time you receive Holy Communion, you are receiving a greater gift than he did, to have the body and blood, soul and divinity of Christ in your body, in your soul. So, we encourage you to not only read in your missal, follow the prayers of the blessings of these candles and the propers of the Mass, Epistle and Gospel. Read them during the Mass. Keep your minds, your souls focused without distraction on these beautiful prayers and ceremonies. So that just like Saint Simeon and Anna the prophetess and then the Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph, when they left the temple, they were fortified with this great gift of God. You have the candle which represents Christ, and you hold that, you light it in your home safely. Do not burn your house down. Be careful. You have the symbol to carry you and to protect you in your lives and in your homes and in your families. May May God bless you.